The general subject of this conference, as you know, is the central work of God. And I just want to have a very brief review of what was covered in message one, and then we'll go into message two. The central work of God. The word central means, it's quite obvious, it has the focus. It is the focus. It is the center. It is the most important and crucial. And it means that regarding the work of God, all the other aspects of God's work, which are necessary, which are of utmost importance, are focused on the central work. If we merely participate in the necessary God-commissioned work, but do not have the central work of God in our view, in our understanding, in our Christian life, human life, in our experience, in our being, eventually we will be in serious trouble before the Lord. Because what he considers normal is that we all fulfill our portion in the work of the ministry, preaching the gospel, teaching and propagating the truth, establishing shepherding saints, having trainings, having conferences, caring for the human and practical needs of the saints. I would never diminish this, neglect this. But is there the center in our view, in our thinking, in our praying, in our serving the Lord? Is the central work of God, of God's work, our center? And that is the main point of this conference. And the burden and the prayer and the word are all for the goal that the central work of God will become our central work as members of the body of Christ, as those who are the virgins, like in Matthew 25, needing to be constituted with the Spirit, signified by the oil. But we're also the servants that have actual practical things to do in the Lord's work. The Lord will reward and judge according to our work. The Lord himself said, I am coming, and my reward will be according to your work. So I want to say again and again, I'm not neglecting this or minimizing this. The burden is the center. And we saw in message one that God's economy is centered on God's unique work. And God's unique work is to build himself in Christ into our being. And also to build us in Christ and through Christ into God. The central work of God is to work himself into our whole being, beginning from our spirit through regeneration, then all of our inward parts, little by little, day by day. And among the millions and millions of genuine believers, children of God on earth today, maybe 0.1% have ever heard anything about the central work of God. So the Lord, there's a way of speaking to the entire universal body, including all the believers. He speaks to his recovery, saying, I have a central work. I want to work myself in Christ into you and constitute you with who and what I am. And so, therefore, we see God's intention, God's goal, and his economy is to build himself in Christ into us. If, after we finished the conference, and you've heard all four messages and have read with care the outlines, my hope, my longing, is that one thing will stay with you forever. But let's say, beginning with our life right now, that you will be governed by the vision of the central work of God. And in your personal life with the Lord, day by day, you will come to him through his precious blood, with Christ as the reality of the offerings, and you turn your heart to him and open your being to him to receive his dispensing, his sufficient grace, his inward operation, his making his home in your heart a little more today. And we're burdened that all the saints among us would have the same view. And ultimately, we will be the corporate expression of the all-inclusive Christ who has been built into our being. Now we come to message two, the intrinsic element of the central work of God. I think we're somewhat clear concerning the central work of God. But as God in Christ is working himself into us, there is an element of his work. There is something related to God's life and nature that is the element that will become the basic factor. It's like when we eat healthy food, there is an element in the food that when digested and assimilated, nourishes us, it sustains us. So there is such an element, God's life and nature, in and through Christ. But there's a modifier here, the intrinsic element. Intrinsic. When this word intrinsic became important to Brother Lee in his ministry, in his spiritual vocabulary. This was to him an important and even precious word, intrinsic, the intrinsic significance of this book in the Bible. The intrinsic significance of this kind of experience of Christ. And I have used this word countless times. And I believe probably all of us have heard it many times. And we may have an accurate, preliminary understanding of the word intrinsic. But I just had the sense personally, much earlier today, as I was considering this message and presenting it to you, I felt I personally needed more learning. This is how I live day by day. I'm still learning. I'm a disciple. The Lord is the teacher. He's the master. I am one of his learners. And I'm thankful for what I have learned, but I'm not satisfied with what I have learned. And so I began to go through some dictionaries, some sources, to get definitions of the word intrinsic. And I'd like to read several of them to you. I believe it's worthy, even necessary, to take maybe 4 or 5 minutes to read these to you so that we do not just use a word and with some understanding, as I mentioned, and now we kind of take it for granted, but it's not that real to us. And so I ask you to join me in further learning. What is the meaning of the word intrinsic? Okay, please listen to this. Intrinsic means belonging to the essential nature or constitution of a thing. So there's an essential nature of some living thing. And there is the constitution of a living thing. What is intrinsic is something that belongs to the essential nature, to the essential constitution. Another way of saying it is, this matter cannot exist apart from this intrinsic, essential nature. So in God's central work, there's an element, an intrinsic element, something that is the essential nature and the constitution of this work. Then another definition, a little simpler, but it helps us take the next step. For something to be intrinsic means it is basic to a thing or a person. It is an extremely important part of making it what it is. Now, we are all human beings. And if we would go to a zoo and see some monkeys, or maybe we could even see a gorilla, and as some say, There seems to be some similarities between them and us. But there are essential differences. There is an intrinsic element that makes us what we are, that makes us human. We're not just higher animals. There is a basic aspect of our being that's intrinsic. And monkeys don't have this element. Gorillas don't have it. No creatures have it. They have the intrinsic elements of what they are as creatures. Then another definition is very close to the one I just gave you. Intrinsic is being an extremely important and basic characteristic of a person or thing. An extremely important and basic characteristic. Well, let's consider human beings again. Surely, animals, monkeys, fish, birds, dogs, cats, kangaroos, elephants, giraffes, hippopotamuses, they might have something like a soul. Even the Bible uses that word for the higher animals. But none of them have a spirit. But we human beings have a spirit, an intrinsic element that's a basic characteristic of being human. And in order to be eventually human in Jesus, as we say, Jesusly human, we need to know our spirit and exercise our spirit and live and walk in our mingled spirit, because this is a basic characteristic of what we are, not merely as humans, but as children of God. And then briefly, just two or three others. Intrinsic is the definition of something that is natural and inherent, that is inward by nature, inward, as opposed to something that's learned. And so, as human beings, we have a spirit, and we don't like acquire a spirit by taking an online course on how to have a human spirit. And then we learn what it is, and it's like some food or some healthy medicine or some beneficial vitamins, and we take them in to improve our health. No. We don't learn something and then make that part of our being. This is what we are. And so I would go on to say the intrinsic element is not dependent on anything outward, on any circumstances. No matter what our circumstances are, as believers in Christ, it doesn't affect what we are intrinsically. We are created, redeemed human beings, born of God with a regenerated spirit that is one spirit with the Lord. And no matter what the outward situation is or the circumstances are, Our inner being is not affected in the sense of being changed. The intrinsic element of God's work does not depend on anything outward. The Lord is working himself, building himself in Christ, into us. This is a 100% absolutely an inward work, intrinsic in every ways. And then the last thing I would say is that an intrinsic element can never be separated from the person or the thing. So let's say again, using our human spirit, as an innate, intrinsic element, it cannot be separated from us, and we still are human beings. One reason that believers, dear precious children of God, when they pass away, they do not go to heaven to be directly in the glorious presence of God. Rather, they go to paradise. And we don't know much about it. Paul was carried there. He said he heard things, marvelous things that he couldn't speak about. But it's a place of joy, of rest. Because death makes everything abnormal. The spirit and soul are separated from the body. And when we see a dear one has passed away and the body is still there, we sense the person is gone. The essence, the element is gone. But that person with a soul and spirit still lives. And as a believer, will eventually be resurrected and have a transfigured body. What I'm trying to say is, anything intrinsic cannot be separated from the person or the matter or the thing that it is essential to. And maybe after all of this, we would have at least some sense, some impression of this word intrinsic used with the element. The central work of God is carried out by a specific intrinsic element. And it is this intrinsic element, the nature and life of God in Christ as the Spirit, that must saturate our inner being, thoroughly penetrate, saturate, fill all of our inward parts. Eventually, our body will be transfigured. This intrinsic element will saturate our body. No more death, no more sin, no more sickness, no more weakness, no more exhaustion or tiredness. But that is in the future. And so we need to know not only what the central work of God is, we need to know the intrinsic element of the central work of God. And this outline is only a little more than one page long, will help us to some extent. Okay, Roman numeral 1, to help us to understand in a basic way. And then what's in my heart, I believe in the Lord's heart, is that in our personal life with the Lord, we will seek this. We will pray for this. We will apply this. We will experience this. We will pray, Lord, may I know and experience the central element of your central work as God. And now we see in plain words what it is. The intrinsic element of the central work of God is the building and builded God. So when someone is building, maybe building a bookcase or a desk or a house, there is the builder, there is the goal to have this bookcase or desk or house, but there are elements that the builder uses. And so the element is the building God. And the intrinsic element is the builded God. Well, what do we mean, especially by builded God? Well, building God is really not God in the Godhead apart from man. The building God is the processed and consummated triune God in Christ as the Spirit working himself into us. This wonderful triune God in God's economy, processed and consummated in Christ as the Spirit. And now he is building himself into us. Then, builded God. What is that? The builded God. Well, I believe we get some help from Ephesians 3, 17a. A very familiar verse about Christ making his home in our heart. So we know the heart is our inner being, our soul, mind, emotion, and will, plus our conscience. And Christ, who as the life-giving Spirit is in our spirit, is making his home in our heart. And that Greek word translated making home has the same root as the Greek word for house. But the Greek verb says he's building the house downward, down into us, into the depths of our being. I'm thinking of John 14:23. In that verse, the Lord said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode a dwelling place, a house with him. We will build a dwelling place in him. The builded God is the processed and consummated triune God in Christ as the Spirit, who has been built into our inner being. It is the God in Christ who is making his home in our heart. When we minister the building God, we are doing something necessary. We are ministering to others, the living God who desires to work himself into us, into them. Surely we need to know and experience the God who is building. But there is something deeper. And this is the core of the New Testament ministry revealed in 2 Corinthians. The builded God is the God in Christ who has made his home in our heart. Now we can minister to others, not only the building God, but the God who has built himself into us. Then when we minister the builded God, we impart something so real and experiential to our brothers and sisters. A, God is building himself into his redeemed people in order to produce a house, the church, the body of Christ, the enlargement of Christ, the embodiment of the triune God realized as the Spirit. So here we have John 14. The Father's house is not heaven. The Father's house is the church, the body of Christ. Christ is making his home in our heart, building a house in our heart, so to speak, in order to produce a corporate house, the church, the body of Christ. B, when we build the church with the processed and consummated triune God, it is not actually we who are building. Rather, God is building through us, using us as a means to dispense and transmit himself into others. There is much light here in this one point. We can truly say, it's correct to say, we are building the church. 1 Corinthians 14. One who prophesies builds up others, builds the church. And we are building with the processed and consummated triune God. Especially God in Christ who has been built into us. But actually, it is not actually we who are doing the building. I can't build anything like this. Rather, God is building. Christ said, I will build my church. I will build my church. He didn't say at that time, Matthew 16, you will build my church. He said, I will build my church. But he doesn't build all by himself. God is building through us, using us as the means to dispense and transmit himself into others. Oh, throughout the Caribbean and all the islands, God needs and God wants brothers and sisters like you all to be the means of dispensing and transmitting God himself through you. You are there among the people, bringing unbelievers to salvation, and then bringing them into the house of God, or dispensing something to open and seeking believers. We're not trying to proselytize them. We don't make the church an issue. We receive them. We love them as God has received and loved us. But then we dispense something into them. But actually, it is God in Christ as the Spirit who is doing the work. Romans 2. God's building is the constitution of his divine element into the human element, and of the human element into the divine element. I tried to say something like this earlier, or actually did say it. God is building himself into us, and he's building us into himself. And in John 14:20 and in 15:4, we see this mutual building. John 14:20, in that day you will know that I am in the Father and that you are in me and I am in you. So we cannot be in the Father directly. Christ is the way to the Father. And we are in Christ the way. And Christ the way is in the Father. And we are in Christ who is the way. Therefore, the Lord could say to us, by being in him, we also are in the Father, and the Lord is in us. But in that same chapter, John 14, he said, the Father is in me. I am in the Father is in me. So now the Father in Christ is in us, and we in Christ are in the Father. This is the mutual building. A, as the divine element is constituted into our humanity, we become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. And as the human element is constituted into God, God becomes man. This is the building revealed in the New Testament. God is constituting us with himself, making us the same as he is in life and nature. That is, he's causing us to become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. That's impossible. Just consider all of us were born of human parents. And let's just focus for a moment on the Father. Do we not have the life and nature of our father and mother? Of course. We are the same as they are in life and nature. I am the same as my Father in life and nature, but there's a difference. My Father has the fatherhood. I cannot have that or be that. I cannot be fatherhood to myself. But I, with my wife, produce two sons and a daughter. They are the same as their father in life and nature, but not in the fatherhood. We are children of God. God is our Father. How dare we not say that we do not have the life of God when He's our Father? How can you say, I'm a child of my father and mother, but I don't have their life? That's impossible. We are the same as God in life and nature, but never in the Godhead. Just look, I am pre-recording this message alone in a conference room in Building 7 at the Living Stream Ministry campus. In my heart, in my spirit, are all of you, but I'm talking to a camera. And you are there in Grenada and various other places hearing this now. But God is both places. I cannot be, you cannot be. We know the limit. We're very clear about the truth. We will not hold back the truth. We have been born of God. We have the life and nature of God. A continues, as the human element is constituted into God, God becomes man. That's what happened in Christ by incarnation and by His resurrection. This is the real building. B, God's work on men is based upon the process and consummated triune God who is building Himself into His chosen people and building them into Him. So, in our daily life, this organic, this living building is taking place, or surely it should be taking place, where God in Christ as the Spirit, the process and consummated triune God, is building Himself into us. And at the same time, He's building us into Himself. This is a mutual building. And now personally, as members of the body of Christ, and in the practical church life, in a local church where we are, on the one hand, personally, we are experiencing the triune God building Himself into us. And also He's building us into Him. And then as the result, when we come together corporately, we are the corporate expression of the triune God who has built Himself into us and who has been building us into Himself. This is what the church is, the corporate expression of God in Christ built in us and of we by God in Christ built into God. This is His house. This is His household, His family. Okay, Roman numeral 3. For the fulfillment of God's eternal economy, God needs to build Himself in Christ into our being, working Himself in Christ into us as our life, our nature and our constitution to make us God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. God needs to do this, to build himself into our being, to work himself in Christ into us as what? Our life. God in Christ becoming our life. Colossians 3:4. Christ, our life. And then we have God in Christ as our nature. And God in Christ is our constitution. We're a different kind of being. We're the God-man species. We're not mere humankind any longer. We have been born of God to become children of God, with the life and nature of God, being constituted with God to be his corporate expression. But we'll never be an object of worship. All the glory goes to God. We worship him, God in Christ. A, the intrinsic significance of 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 14a is that the triune God is working himself in his process and consummated Trinity into his chosen and redeemed people. The Lord willing, there will be a semi-annual training devoted to a crystallization study of 1 and 2 Samuel. And the Lord knows there will be maybe even two messages on 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 14. And I just say something simply and briefly. David desired to build a house, to build a temple for God. And the prophet encouraged him and said, "Very good, king. Go ahead and build." But a word from God came to the prophet. God is now speaking from his heart to the prophet, and then through the prophet to David, saying, "You will not build me a house. I will build you a house. You will not build the house, the temple for me. But you will have a son, and he will build the temple." Well, we know that in history, that son was Solomon, who built the temple that God wanted to build. But this is a type, a symbol, a picture that has intrinsic spiritual significance. And that is the seed of David, mentioned in 2 Samuel, is Christ incarnated, according to Romans 1, 3, and 4. And he is the real Solomon, as Matthew 12 says, someone greater than Solomon is here, something greater than the temple is here, because Christ is both the real Solomon, the king, and the temple. And he is the one who will build the house of God, the church. Then we go another step further. that Christ, as the descendant of David, the firstborn son of God in resurrection, who said, I will build my church. Please remember, he will build it through us. And so we go on to the epistles, to Ephesians 3 again. Now Christ is building God's house by building himself into us, by making his home in our heart. And this makes us the dwelling place of God. B, we need God to build up Christ into our intrinsic constitution so that our inner being will be reconstituted with Christ. As human beings created by God according to his purpose, we have a human constitution. And this constitution is intrinsic. We were born with it. A word we may use that's similar and can be helpful is disposition. We were just born a certain way. And brothers and sisters who are parents and have had maybe two or more children born of the same mother and father, but the parents realize how different they are in their disposition, in their intrinsic nature, in their intrinsic constitution. The character is developed outwardly, and culture is learned outwardly. But we are born with an intrinsic human constitution. But that human constitution was damaged by sin. So our Lord Jesus came and died on the cross in our place, crucified the old man, judged and removed our fallen being, but redeemed our God-created human being, so that now the building and builded God can constitute his element into our human constitution. So we will then be reconstituted with Christ. We were constituted by creation. The created constitution was redeemed by Christ's death on the cross. Now Christ, as the Spirit, enters the redeemed, created constitution to saturate and permeate our human constitution with his constitution, or actually to say, with him as the constitution, to reconstitute us, to make us real God-men. That's why eventually the overcomers will become his bride, the same as the bridegroom in every way, the same constitutions. He is God who became man, and we are man who became God in life and nature. The Lord wants to reconstitute all of us. Lord, reconstitute me. Reconstitute the saints to fulfill your heart's desire. See, Christ builds the church by coming into our spirit and spreading himself from our spirit into our mind, emotion, and will to occupy our entire soul. I'm glad these two verses are together, Matthew 16:18. Ephesians 3:17a, Christ builds the church. How? How blessed we are to know how. How Christ is building the church. By coming into our spirit as the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. He was joined to the Lord as one spirit. We live and walk according to the mingled spirit. Romans 8:10, our spirit is life. Our spirit is Zoe. Then from our spirit, he is spreading himself into our mind, spreading himself into our emotion, spreading himself into our being, our entire soul and will, working himself into our will to occupy our entire soul. And I cannot say that the Lord occupies my entire soul, every part. He knows. I don't dare say this. I just pray for this. Continue the reconstituting work, please. Continue today. One, all the steps that God takes in our daily living are to fulfill his intention of building himself in Christ into our being. Oh, so many things happen in our daily living. We read this at the end of the first outline, that the Lord arranges so many things in our environment for his central work. And all of us who have lived longer and have been in the recovery somewhat longer can testify of this. The Lord really uses the situations, the sufferings, the losses, the environments, other persons, things. The Lord used a car that I had. It would break down and be repaired, and then this thing is not working, had to be fixed. Well, he's not interested in cars. He knew that part of my soul was connected to that car. He's using that to work himself into me. But also, many of us can say, we don't understand many of the things that are happening. We just don't. God's thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are not our ways. But when it comes down to it, we believe. We believe God. We love God. All things work together for good. For those who love God. And so the Lord is arranging so many steps, all for this intention, for the building. So we pray for more building. Then a certain thing happens. We wonder, why? I didn't pray for that. Well, that's part of the answer to your prayer. Our wise, sovereign Father God, he knows what we need and what to do. Two, the issue of this building is that we become a very particular class of people, the members of the body of Christ. Of course, outwardly, we're like everyone else. Those of you who live, wherever you are, in Haiti, Puerto Rico, Grenada, wherever, outwardly, you're like everybody else. But inwardly, you're another species, another class of people. You're members of the body of Christ. Consider all the members of your body. Isn't the same life flowing in all the members? Don't you feel that or think that every member of the body is you? If someone would step on your foot, on your shoe, You would say, please don't step on my toe. That's part of me. We are all part of Christ. Wonderful. D, as the consummation of the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem is a composition of divinity and humanity, mingled, blended, and built up together as one entity. And please remember from Revelation 21 and 2, the New Jerusalem was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And in verse 10, John saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, but the angel said, I will show you the wife of the Lamb. The New Jerusalem is a person, the bride, and then the wife of Christ. She must be the same as her husband in life and nature, in constitution. When all the components have the same life, nature, and composition, and thus are a corporate person. We may say in simple terms, God's eternal purpose and the goal of God's economy is to bring forth and build up a corporate person. The New Jerusalem as the bride and the wife of the redeeming God. We are in the process of being built up together to be this corporate person all over the earth. Eventually, all the believers, eventually meaning at the end of the next 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, all the believers from all the centuries will be fully reconstituted. And there will be the new heaven and the new earth. And there will be at the center the bridegroom, the husband, and his wife, this corporate person. We were created, we were redeemed, we were regenerated, we were brought into the Lord's recovery for the fulfillment of the desire of God's heart to bring forth and build up a corporate person, a wife for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the central work in producing this wife is the intrinsic element, God building himself into us and building us into him. This is not just for our personal spirituality. This is for the corporate person. Christ is making himself our person. Christ, our life. He's making us his reproduction so that we all will become part of this wonderful, marvelous, eternal, corporate person, New Jerusalem, wife of the Lamb. And then the last point, this is a matter of God becoming man and man becoming God in life, and in nature, but not in the Godhead. So now I use this expression, this familiar one. This is the high peak of the divine revelation. In Christ, God became man, so that in Christ, the redeemed and regenerated believers will become God in life and nature. And the goal is a corporate person. So I end this message honestly in a way that is quite fresh to me personally. The central work of God is God in Christ as the Spirit, building himself into us, becoming our life, our nature, our constitution, and our expression, so that corporately we will become this corporate person, his wife, for whom he died on the cross. The Lord knows I sincerely believe what Paul says in Hebrews 12, the Lord was on the cross suffering the shame, but there was joy set before him. I sincerely believe the joy set before him was his counterpart, his bride, his wife, the New Jerusalem, this corporate person constituted and built up with the process and consummated triune God, becoming the same as God in life, in nature, in constitution, in expression, so that in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be this wonderful, blessed, eternal marriage. For this, my dear brothers and sisters, we were created. For this we were redeemed. For this we were saved. For this our sins were forgiven. For this we have become children of God. For this we have received the love of the truth, the love of the Word of God, but even more, the love of God himself. It is for this that we are in the genuine church life, because we're another species, another class of persons, members of the body of Christ, parts of the corporate person, the one whom soon, we pray, will be prepared as the bride of the Lamb, for whom he will come.